Father, we exalt you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, I can continue that way for the rest of the morning. Hallelujah. Yeah, so it's been a pleasure. Let me celebrate with everybody in this anniversary. I celebrate with all of you, including the children here, looking dapper. Hallelujah. It's been a wonderful time, and thank God for the amazing testimonies, not just in this anniversary, you know, conference, but over the years. So I celebrate with everybody who's been involved doing many, many amazing things. But I also want to particularly recognize and appreciate the church leadership. I think you are fine leaders in Surpassing Grace Assembly, Ibadan. Abby, I appreciate all of them now, from Pastor P.K. Saroke, Pastor Funke here, Brother A.K., Sister Esther, you know, celebrate them. Do better now. Hallelujah. They've done an amazing, amazing job. And thank you for the past 2 days. Thank you for the hospital. The treatment has been good. Amen. Hallelujah. Go with me first to Hebrews chapter 13. Again, I recognize that I don't have too much time this morning. But one of the things I'll say to you is that as I speak, Pastor BJ already quoted for us, that God confirms his word with signs and wonders, miracles, and various distributions of the Spirit. So he confirms the word. So as I speak, it's more than that. Ezekiel said that he spoke to me, and he said, "Son of man, stand up." He said, "And the Spirit entered me as he spoke to me and lifted me up." So when the word of God is going forth, it's more than just words. Can I hear you say more than just words? So when you are speaking like that, something happens. I was asking people, you know, sometime, you know, what has happened to them that they never really talked about, you know, just been in church and they were not really prayed for. And then somebody told me, "I've been in church and one day I realized I don't itch when I have a bath." You know, never prayed for and all of that. He said, "But since I was coming to church, I just realized one day that I used to itch a lot. Every time I had a bath, it was horrible, you know, and that's a horrible affliction to have because you won't want to have a bath, you know." So he said, "But I just realized that I could, you know." So something had happened to him from his encounters with the word. Hallelujah. So when the word is going forth, something is happening that is more than just words. Can I have an amen? Amen. Hebrews chapter 13 and the 9th verse, the Bible says, "Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. For it is good." Can I hear you say it is good? He said it is good that the earth be established by grace and not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. Over the past 2 days, you should start getting used to the fact that there are many ways in which God's favor is spoken of in the Bible. A very common one is that you see the word grace. Can I hear you say grace? So when you see grace, it's almost synonymous with favor in the Bible. So when he talks about God's grace being upon you, that's God's favor. So in fact, if I read you what I just read in Hebrews 13 and verse 9, I read that in the Amplified, and it says, "Do not be carried about by different and varied and alien teachings. For it is good for the heart to be established and ennobled and strengthened by means of grace, that is, God's favor and spiritual blessing. And not to be devoted to foods, that is, rules of diet and ritualistic meals, which bring no spiritual benefit or profit to those who observe them." Go also with me to Psalm 30. Psalm 30, which is the main text for this anniversary that we're talking about, is favor. So Psalm 30 is the main text, the main reference text that the church leadership gave. And it says in verse 5, "For his anger," that is, he's talking about God. He said, "For his anger is but for a moment." Okay? "But for" is in italicized, so you can also say, "For his anger is only," or "his anger a moment." Just in a moment. His favor is for life. So, therefore, weeping may endure for a night. I said so therefore because of what I was teaching you on Friday night. You know, so therefore is not English, but it's communication. Hallelujah. So you understand. It's bad English. My English teacher won't like it. But you understand what I'm talking about. It says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Okay? His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. So therefore, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And the reason why we are also reading Luke chapter 2 and all that, which we read yesterday as a text, is because I have to make concussion this morning. Hallelujah. I have to prepare concussion. Because I began to teach something yesterday which I couldn't finish. So I'm going to combine it with today's own. So that is today's concussion. Amen. And concussion, by the way, is not a bad thing. Concussion sustained us, for the years that we were in school. You know, it was an amazing thing. Everybody made their own with whatever was available. We didn't know how to make jollof rice usually. So we will mix up, rice. We'll mix palm oil. You put pepper. Sometimes you put some beans with it. If you wish, so it's because you can't have beans alone, you can't have rice alone, you put them all together, there's no stew, so you mix that together properly. If you have fish, you put some fish in it, and all of that. And by the way, that's what all of you are going to the restaurants today to go and buy. There is a native rice, concussion. Look at your neighbor, say it's concussion. Somebody say, me, I don't want jollof rice. When you get there, buy me native rice. Are you with me? It just means it's jollof rice that is not jollof rice. Or it's rice that looks like jollof rice, but it's not jollof rice. And there's no standard recipe. You understand? So you find out that native rice is in one place is different from native rice in another place. There's no recipe. It depends on each man's concoction that he used to make. Hallelujah. So today I'm mixing them. Hallelujah. So Luke 2 and verse 52 rather, which is the last verse, it says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor. Can I hear you say in favor? With God and men. So he increased in favor with God and men. Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs 13. And then we look at verse 15. The Bible says there, good understanding gains favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. It's part A that we're concerned about. Good understanding gains favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. So basically, we began to speak all through from Friday about the fact that God's design for us is that we will make progress in life because of his favor. We will do the things we know to do. We will do the best that we can. We will pursue life as best with as much diligence as we can. However, everything we're going to get in life is not going to be just by the work of our hands. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's why the Bible says in Psalm 127 also that they, except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord watches over the house, the watchmen stay awake in vain. You know, it is vain to rise up early, go to bed late, eat the bread of sorrows, but he gives his beloved sleep. So what is he talking about? He says that he gives his beloved rest or sleep. Because after his beloved does what he does, he has involved God in the things that he does. Therefore, God will make those things to work even beyond his own natural expectation. Can I have an amen? And so we looked at Psalm 5 and we saw that. So if you don't remember anything or if you were not here, remember Psalm 5 and verse 12. It says, surely you will bless the righteous. Can I hear you say surely? Surely means that God is absolutely, this is an absolute certain fact. Surely you will bless the righteous. And again, he puts there that semicolon that I talked about. He said, how will you do it? He said, with favor, you will surround him as with a shield. So how you will do it is that you surround him with favor. You ensure that whenever he needs something, whenever he does something, it turns out well. People respond well to him. Things work out for him. So we need to stop believing that we have any form of bad luck, but start believing in all the best luck, if there was any such thing that you have or can have in life. Can I have an amen? You know, they said in the Jewish tradition, they do not have a word for luck, because they don't believe that there is luck. They only believe there is God or there is no God. There is God in your situation or there is no God with you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And if God is with you, then goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So today, but we're now looking at today. Yesterday we began to speak about the increase, but today we're looking at Psalm 30 primarily again and combining it. So I call it increasing in God's everlasting favor. Increasing in God's everlasting favor. So first, Hebrews chapter 13 tells us clearly, you know, Hebrews 13 tells us that they worry themselves about many kinds of belief. People are particularly obsessed, and I don't know why, with the anger of God. They are obsessed with causes, generational causes. They are obsessed that God, I must have offended God. God must be against me. If they break a leg, they say it's because I've done something and God wants to teach me a lesson. People are just obsessed with those kinds of things that if you teach them, many people hold on and grasp onto them. But the Bible says the way for the heart to be established, the better way, is that your heart should be established upon God's favor, upon God's grace. You need to establish your heart on God's grace. That means that when you wake up, think to yourself, God is smiling. Are you still with me? Everywhere you go, think to yourself, God is happy with me. He said, it is good that the heart be established with grace. That is God's favor and God's blessing. That's where your heart ought to be fixed. That's the way, that's the meditation you ought to have all of the time. That's the primary doctrine that should be in your mind. Not the strange ones of God is angry. No, no, no. He's only angry with the sinner. Are you still with me? You are a child of God, I hope. But you are a child of God. And as a child of God, God is happy with you. God's favor is upon you. Are you still with me? You know, Pastor Fuke was saying something as we closed last night. And I thought, oh, you know, I never thought about it that way. That we have bought this building. You know, I never thought about it that way. I'm just thinking of old songs. So he said, no, we have bought this building. We are buying the next building. You know, so we've already gone past paying for one building. We are paid for one building. Are you hearing me? And how did all of that come about? By God's favor. Sometime, was that 2 years ago? We had a meeting here with the owner, and we sat down. His family was with us, Pastor BJ and I, and we sat down with him. And his son said, when I saw the agreement, he said, I couldn't believe it. The agreement that he had with you for the purchase. He said, I've never seen that kind of agreement before. That the terms of his favor. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That is God's favor at work. Even with that, you know, the last time we said, we need an extension. And we're going, and I thought, God, I'll ask him for 1 year. And God said, no, don't ask for anything. God said, when you get there, tell him anything he wants. I was telling Pastor Peter when we're leaving. So we got there, and he was talking, and blah, 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 blah. And he said, well, so what's it going to be? And they said, I'll give you 2 years more. I said, see, if I had gone to open my own mouth now, I would have said 1 year. Are you hearing me? But God's favor said two. Are you still with me? Establish your heart upon God is the one that is after me. God is the one that broke my... I mean, just simply eating the leg on the stone. Somebody say, I don't know. Hey, God, is God going out with me today? My friend, God is with you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Are you still there? You know, the value of a thing is based on how much you paid for it. That's the value of a thing. The value is not what you think it is. It's what was paid for it. So you can go here and you buy that wristwatch. You bought it for 5,000 naira. I can buy the same wristwatch for 50,000 naira. It's worth 50,000 naira. Are you getting what I'm saying? You can't say, no, even with the strap is not original leather. How can it be 50,000 naira? My friend, the value is 50,000 naira. That's what I paid.
The value that God paid for you is the blood of Jesus Christ. So you are valuable to him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I feel strongly that somebody needs something broken in their heart. That feeling of God is not happy with you. That feeling of God doesn't like you. God is not on your side because of this or that. No. God's favor is for life. Are you hearing me? Now, when you read Psalm 30, okay, so now moving to Psalm 30. When you read Psalm 30, what it's describing is the nature of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's describing the nature of God. Almost like when he speaks in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13. And he says, when we are faithless, he remains faithful. Okay, why? He said, because he cannot deny himself. It means that he is a faithful God, he is his character. God's faithfulness has nothing to do with me. Are you getting what I'm saying? His faithfulness has nothing to do with me. That's why I can be faithless, but he will not change. The only problem is that I may not enjoy his faithfulness because I am faithless, but when I come back, I will still meet him where he was, faithful. Are you getting what I'm trying to describe to you? He is a good God. He is a God who is disposed to favor you. That will not change. He said his anger is just a moment. If he's angry, one moment, it's over. Unlike, the Bible says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Say, be angry, but sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Ephesians 4. And then a couple say, we operate on that scripture. Say, my wife and I, we believe in that scripture. We operate by that scripture. Say, so we don't sleep over our anger. He said, but for 3 days now, we haven't slept. Are you with me? That's not for a moment. So he said, when God is angry, it's only for a moment. Are you hearing me? But then he has to return back to that favor because that is who he is. Are you with me? Now, so if I know, so I'm dealing with God, God is stable. That's why the Bible says there is no variableness or shadow of turning with him. No variableness, meaning that it's not that we have to test and figure out the mood that God is in per day. There are people that you have to look at their face very well before you speak. When you get in the morning, you see them, good morning. Say, go your way. Don't talk to him. Because don't ask him anything, you will face fire. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And then you ask them, say, I woke up on the wrong side of my bed. But God is not like that. The Bible says there is no variableness, meaning that he's not like this, like this, like that, like this, like that. He's stable. He's predictable. What can I predict about God is that his favor is for life. Are you hearing me? And that means that at whatever point in time, I can always come back to God. Even when I fail him, I can come back to him and still meet his favor. I can repent and trace my way back, and God will still be favorably disposed towards me. I may have missed something or the other because of what I did, but God himself will not change. Are you still there? There are several things you then see if you look at the scriptures. You see that the children of Israel displayed or enjoyed that or faced that with God. I like the consistency of scriptures. That's what Romans 15 talks about. He says the things that were written before time were written for our learning, so that we through the the comfort and the patience of scriptures. The word patience there means consistency, meaning that if you look through the scriptures, you will find that God is consistent. No matter how you want to look at it, you will see certain core principles, certain things about the God that we serve that is consistent. One of those things you'll find is that favor. The book of Jonah, I just read the book of Jonah again. How many people know about Jonah? You've read about Jonah. Children, you know about Jonah. So Jonah was told by God, he was a prophet. And God said, go to Nineveh and prophesy. And said, Nineveh shall be destroyed. Shall be, not might be. He said, go there and tell them, Nineveh shall be destroyed. So God said, go to Nineveh. And say, Nineveh shall be destroyed. Jonah went to Tarshish. He faced Tarshish. Okay? and headed towards Tarshish. And then he was in a boat. The boat was in a ship, and the people had to throw him into the ocean. And then a fish swallowed him up that God had prepared and brought him to shore. And then he repented and went to Nineveh and spoke as God said, and said, Nineveh shall be destroyed. Then the people of Nineveh began to cry before God. We are very sorry. Ah, God, we are very sorry. Then God says, no, I will not destroy Nineveh. So Jonah said, And he went away very angry. And God said, what's wrong with you? He said, this is the reason why I ran to the world's Tarshish. Jonah chapter 4 and verse 2. He said, this is the reason why I took off for Tarshish. You are too nice. He said, now you are disgracing a old prophet. He said, because I prophesied something, and now you are doing your... He said, I knew. Listen, go to Jonah chapter 4. He said, I knew you. Are you still with me? Where is the book of Jonah? Okay, Jonah chapter 4. Read it. Because I'm saying to you that what Psalm 30 is describing is the nature of God. Okay, so Jonah chapter 4 and verse 2. So Jonah prayed to the Lord and said, ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are what? A gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. He says, well, I just know that really, 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 at the core of your being, you are a gracious and merciful God. Let somebody say, he's a gracious and merciful God. You know, in with the children of Israel, also, 2 Samuel, David was king. Okay, David was king. And as king, David did something wrong. He counted people when he shouldn't have counted. He did a census when he shouldn't have done a census of the men of war. And then God was angry with him. And God said, look, I'm going to punish you. God said, but this is the punishment. You choose yourself. Okay, you choose the punishment yourself. He said, one, you are going to have 7 years of famine. 7 years where things are not growing. Serious famine in the land. He said, two, you will have just 3 months of your enemies chasing you. You will not be able to overcome them. When they come, you have to run. If you fight them, they defeat you and all of that. He said, just 3 months of that one. He said, or you will have 3 days of COVID. He just said a plague, okay? 3 days of a plague in your land. You know what David said? He said, whatever it is, let the punishment be one that comes directly from you, but don't put us in the hand of any man. Meaning, we don't want our enemies chasing us. He said, let the punishment be anything that can come from you. Why? Because I know you are a gracious and merciful God. Let somebody say it's a gracious and merciful God. So that means that no matter what you face, no matter what you experience, always learn to remind yourself that that God is a gracious and merciful God. However, the other two texts that we'll be reading, you know, tell us something. They tell us that there is a way you can act, or there are things I can do that can bestow more favor from anybody, including God. Okay? So there are things I can do. Jesus increased in favor with God and man. If he increased with favor, in favor with God and man, it means that there's a possibility of decreasing. If something can increase, it can decrease, it can stay at the same level. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So the mere fact that the Bible uses the word increased has told us that there are levels, or suggests to us that there are levels. And Proverbs 13 corroborates that and tells us that good understanding, if we know what to do, we can gain favor. Are you hearing me? So yesterday we spoke about one of those things. We said if you fellowship with God to know him, and you spend time with God, whether through fasting and prayer, whether through studying the word, whatever you do, you are just knowing God more and more and more. What that does for you is that you will gain more favor from God. People you fellowship with, people you spend time with tend to like you. They tend to, start having some empathies, having some emotions towards you. They think of you as their friend. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But if you don't spend time with somebody, you know somebody called, someone was, I just asked and said, can I have, hello, yes, can I have 5,000 naira? Ah, see, Sorry. When who is this? You know, when you first start on the phone, your number is ringing, you don't know whose number is this, not on your phone. Then the first thing is, hello, 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 is that Dr. Odumanjo? Please, can I have 5,000 naira? You take the phone again, you look here. You why are you looking at the phone? Because you're wondering, who is this? You know, then he says, it's me, Jide. He says, which Jide? He says, Jide, something. Jide, from how long ago did I hear from you? Are you hearing what I'm saying? It automatically puts a stumbling block in your way. Are you there? How long ago did God hear from you? He puts a stumbling block in your way. He himself, his arms are not shortened. God himself is predisposed towards doing us good. But we need a relationship to increase our standing and increase his favor towards us. Can I have an amen? I don't want to spend much time on that anymore because we did that yesterday. So number two, keep God's commandments. If you want God's favor to increase towards you, keep his commandments. Can I hear you say, keep his commandments? 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3. So remember what we've established? God himself is not changing. We are the ones changing. You know, the scripture says, the Lord is with you for as long as you are with him. What does that mean? It means that God is stable. He's where he is with you as long as you are with him. If you walk away, he is still where you left him. You understand what I'm talking about? And so if you went back to where he was and you involve him and you take him along in everything you are doing, that is with you. But if you decide that I'm walking it alone, then you are on your own. Are you still here, anybody? But God himself is not changing. His promises, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But how do you involve him? You know, it says in James chapter 4, because when we look at some of those things, I tell people, if you are going to study the Bible, study the whole counsel of God. Don't read one part of the Bible. Don't focus on the promise book. You know, some people promise book. And then they bring out some scriptures that are just some promises, and then that's all you read. I read the promise book every day. I read my promise book every day that has the promises of God in them. My friend, you have a small, narrow view of God. You'll have to look at the whole counsel. Paul said, we have not failed to declare to you the whole counsel of God, because you have to see the full picture. And that full picture is that, yes, he has promised, I'll never leave nor forsake you, but you be careful not to. In James 4, he said, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. Are you still with me? So the closeness is determined by me. Hallelujah. 1 John 3, is that where we are? 1 John 3, let's look at verse 22. We're running out of time. 1 John 3, 22. It says, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Well, we read earlier on Friday, Ephesians chapter 2, that talks about God's favor, God's grace. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. He said, and that grace of favor is displayed in his kindness towards us. That is, the blessings that he gives to us, the things that he does for us, are a revelation or an expression of God's favor towards us. So now 1 John chapter 3, because if you, again, like I was talking about, looking at the whole counsel of God, when you read the scriptures and it says in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, ask and you shall receive, seek you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. He said, for everyone that asketh, receiveth, everyone that knocketh, everyone that seeketh, findeth, and to everyone that knocketh, the door is open. And then somebody will ask, but I have faith, I've asked it, that I did not receive it. Why? The whole counsel of God. Okay? You'll have to read other things. And one of them is here in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22. And it says, whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep. Can I hear you say because? Because we keep his commandments. So if you want that favor, you want it to seem like you are God's only child, God's favorite child, then you keep his commandments. You don't take them for granted. You keep them. They are important to you. And keeping them doesn't mean you keep them under the pillow with your Bible. You keep them around you. Some people even have small Bibles they tie in their cars and all of that, and tie in their shop. That's not keeping His commandments. The word keep means that you live by them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, he gave Joshua an instruction. He said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, so that you may observe to do. So that you may observe to do. So the reason why you are doing all of what you are doing, and being in church and listening and studying and reading the Bible every day, is ultimately so that you may observe to do. According to all that is written therein. So you want to live life by it. He said, and that way you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Are you there? I said, are you still here? So we keep His commandments. That's how it works. And there are two things there that He says, basically, or He gives us as examples of that commandment. Number one, He says in verse 23, and this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. So the first commandment He gives us here as an instruction is that you have to have faith in God. Can I hear you say, have faith in God? You just have to believe God. No matter what you are going through, no matter what you are facing, you want God's favor, you want God to be pleased with you, believe God. Just trust Him. Just rely on the fact that God is there. I don't even know what to do, but I know that there is God. And He's on my side. Can I have an amen? Amen. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, He said, without faith. Can I hear you say, without faith? He said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Did you get that? So you're talking of God's favor. He said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's amazing how many believers want to live their lives at all true without developing their faith in God. Are you with me? People just want to go through and then they complain when they want to complain. They cry when they want to cry. They do whatever they want to do, but they don't want to develop their faith in God at all. But then they will tell you, God failed me. You failed God. Ah, you hear what I'm saying? We ought to develop our faith. And what does that entail? You have to study God's word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17. One says faith forms by hearing the message, and that message comes out of God's word. John 8 and verse 31. He said, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But it starts with continuing in the word. Meaning you go with the word, you stay in the word, you dwell in the word, and then truths will be jumping out every now and then at you, and as they come at you, you start gaining freedom. Are you still there? Look at someone say, develop your faith. I was teaching a Bible school sometime, and he told me that people were selling, what do they call it again? Mustard seed. They were selling mustard seed in the buses in Lagos. I was shocked. So I finished teaching on faith, and then I was doing, question and answer and discussion and all that. And he said, they were selling mustard seed. I said, sell mustard seed? What for? He said, because Jesus said, except you have faith like a mustard seed. I said, so people are buying mustard seed and eating mustard seed to have faith? What a country. What a set of believers. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You buy mustard seed to have faith. What you need to have faith is in your hands. It's called the word of God. It's called the Holy Bible. Can I have an amen? You don't need to eat any mustard seed. Can I have another loud amen? Amen. And if you go down, Hebrews 11 is called the Hall of Faith in the Bible for faith teachers, where it lists several people who lived and operated by faith, so they pleased God. One of the people that strikes me the most is Abraham. If you go down to verse 17 in Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews 11 verse 17, he says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tempted, offered up Isaac. I'm sure many of you have heard that story before. And he who had received the promises offered up his own son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. You know what that's describing? It was describing the faith of Abraham. Now, he was describing or summarizing what happened and giving us a backstory. You know, a backstory is the making of. Have you ever watched Jackie Chan movie before? Eh? So when you watch Jackie Chan movie, you see Jackie Chan jumping like this and jumping like this, and they will throw sticks, they will throw sword and all of that, and he will jump, and as he jumps, he will slide under a chair, and then he will jump and he will grab this, and then he will turn and spin and kick three people at the same time and all of that. And we thought it was India movie. You know, India movie is the one where you will punch a man and the man will fly to the roof. Then he will jump back. That's India movie. That's fake. That's fabu. But Jackie Chan is a lot of real stunts. So at the end of the Jackie Chan movie, when they start writing the names of the actors, they start showing you the backstory of what happened. They will show you how many times they threw the stick at him, and he tried to dodge it, and he missed it. He missed dodging it, and the thing hit him, and he goes, then they have to shoot it again. Then he will say he should jump. He will jump and try to grab this thing. He won't grab it. He will fall. Wah! There was one where he broke bones in making that movie. They will show you all the things that went wrong, all the errors that he made, but that's the backstory. So when you read Genesis chapter 22, you see what happened to Abraham. God spoke to him and he said, Abraham, give me your son, your only son whom you love, and offer him up. And Abraham went, and when he tried to offer that son, God said, stop. He said, now I know that you fear God. Now I know, and now I will bless him. He blessed you, I will bless you. What was that? Favor. He said, now I know, and in blessing I will bless you. Ah, Abraham. Oh, you will so be blessed that blessed people will call you blessed. Are you still there? And what Hebrews is summarizing to us is that what really happened in Abraham's mind was that as Abraham was taking Isaac to go and offer, he was thinking to himself, it's the only son, no? I don't have another. God says, yeah, your only son. Say, I love him. God said, the one you love. And he said, yeah, and I will kill him. Then he told himself, he said, you know what? God said that in Isaac, your seed will be called. Your generations will come out of Isaac. He said, so if God says I should kill Isaac, then it means that God will raise him from the dead. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's what Hebrews was describing. He said he concluded, he told himself that even if I kill him, I know it's God that is telling me, if I kill him, then God will have to raise him from the dead. He said even in his imagination, he had received him. He had received him raised from the dead. And that's why he was bold enough to hold that knife and God said, oh my mashe, stop. Are you there? Your faith pleases God. He said without faith, it is impossible. Can I hear it's impossible? It's impossible to please him. He said, but because he that will come to God must believe that he really exists. Not only so, he must believe that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. In John chapter 14, Jesus was speaking and he said that whoever keeps my commandment, in verse 21, he said, whoever keeps my commandment, I will love him and my Father will also love him. What's that favor? He said, and we will come and we'll manifest ourselves to him. He will see us in his life. He will see us in his situation. Whoever loves me, he said, will keep my commandments and I will love him. He will keep my commandments and I will love him and my Father will love him. So remember what we're talking about. God is stable. He's a favorable God. He's predisposed towards favor. He wants to do good at all times. However, you can increase that favor towards you by the things that you do. And one of the things that you do is what? Have faith in God. We won't jump away from 1 John chapter 3 completely. Let's quickly mention, before we move on, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22. He gave a second thing in 1 John 3 and verse 23. He said, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son Jesus Christ and what? Love one another. As he gave us commandments. So two things he gave here specifically. believe in him, and love. Walking in love, walking in love, walking in love ought to become a template, a mantra, a lifestyle for every believer who wants to increase in God's favor. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I remember Kennedy Hagin talking about some minister coming to coming to town when he was a pastor, if I remember correctly. So he was a pastor, and this pastor came by town, and when he came by the town, God spoke to him and God said, bless him. I want you to bless him. He doesn't have enough money to continue to where he's going. That's why he stopped here. He says, I want you to bless him. He said he himself didn't have enough money, enough income that came from the small church as salary. He said, but he gave the man. He asked him, take this evening. They gave him offering. He said, then God said, I want you to give, add your own money. He said, he added his own money to it and sent him on his way. Sometime late, he went to pray for somebody who was bedridden, about to die, and God raised that woman up miraculously. And God said to him, he said, if you had not obeyed me with that man, I would not have been able to use you now. Your walk in love at that time is what made it possible for me to manifest through you at this time. Are you still there? I said, are you there? You know, one of the things that God laid on my heart, but we won't have time to do a full expose, if you are thinking about increasing in God's favor, is to look at David's life. You know, look at David's life. And everything that I'm saying here, you will find with David's life. Okay? David, for instance, in the book of Acts, God said, I have found me a man after my own heart who will do all of my will. That's Acts 13. Okay? God said, I found a man after my own heart. That is, God was speaking, and he was speaking about the time when he rejected King Saul. So God said, look, that King Saul, I'm done. He said, but I have looked and I found somebody. And this is what sets him apart for this mighty favor of mine. He said, he's a man who will do all of my will. And I said, you know, you study David's life because his life was typical. He had some ups and downs. He failed God, but he got up again. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But then you'll find that the favor on David's life was so strong that even his children enjoyed it. Even when his son that took over him messed up, God said, I will take the kingdom from you. He said, ah! But I promised David. Okay, I will take 10. I will leave 2 with you because of your father David. That is strong favor. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, and that's how Israel went apart, and then Judah was the one that was being ruled by David's descendants. I was reading recently, and I looked at how many times the kings were changing in Israel. How this one would kill this one and take over. There was no clear lineage. This one will reign, one, his child will take over, then somebody will kill him, and then that one will reign, and then somebody will kill that one will reign. And then he will tell you, in all of those years, they still had one king in Judah who had been there for 42 years. And I'm thinking, wow, there's still something that is working in Judah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So he had that. And he had the elements of these things that we're talking about. That's why I'm mentioning it. Okay? We said the first thing is what? You need to increase in your knowledge of God. Number 2 is what? You need to keep God's commandment. Number 3, be quick to repent. Be quick to repent. If you ever fail God, be quick to repent. Maintain a very soft, tender conscience. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Maintain a tender conscience. Pastored for a few years now. I've come across people that are very hard. Hardened. They are so hardened, they will scare you. How can a believer be like this? Confronted with evidence. Somebody reported someone to me once and showed me. Because when you report somebody, I say, what's your evidence? What's the evidence? All this talk. What's the evidence? And then he showed me, this is the evidence. On the phone, clearly written. And I called this person. I said, auntie, look at this. He said, no, it's not true. I said, what's not true? No, it's not true. I said, I don't understand. I said, can you read what we are looking at? He said, yeah, but it's not true. I said, ah. I said, so how did this one show up? This is a message between you and somebody. How did it happen? Yeah, I don't know. I said, so you are telling me that They went. I don't know whether Brother Toby is capable. I mean, or this one is not jam. You know, and created all these messages. So I said, you know what? At this point, I leave you. You and God. I said, as far as I'm concerned, this is so. And you have failed God. You better repent. But I won't get into an argument with you. This is staring you in your face and you are denying. Then later in the night, he sent me a message. I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry. It is true. I said, I knew it was true now. I told you I walked away that it is true. Now it is just left between you and God. Because you will lose out on God's favor in your life. Are you hearing me? Can I hear you say, be quick to repent? Go to Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah 66. So one of the things you'll find, for instance, when I talked about David. David took another man's wife and even killed the man. When the prophet walked up to David and told the parable, there was a rich man. He said, Kingi, Kingi. Kadekweluriyo. But Akwele said, so carry your mommy. Carry, carry. Prophet, God bless you. He said, King, there's a situation. He said, what is it? He said, there was one rich man. I had many animals. He said, and then there was one poor man. He had just one lamb that he's taking care of that has grown up with his family and all that. He said, then the rich man had a visitor. He said, and then the visitor, when the visitor arrived, the rich man said he should go and catch the poor man's lamb and kill it for his own visitor. Ah! King said, no! In this kingdom, we will deal with that man. He said, you are that man. That's the king he's talking to. He said, you are that man. And you can imagine when you come to the king, you know, there's Otu. I mean, there's Osi. There's which one again? Amuludu. There's Ashipa. Everybody is seated there. And he said, you are that man, O king. And king said, yea, lakuli, I have sinned. Are you hearing what I'm saying? No shame, no nothing. He said, I have sinned. And the man said, look, this is a punishment that God will bestow upon you. He said, however, because of your repentance, you will not die. It means he would have died. Are you still there? Be quick to what? Repent. Isaiah 66, verse 1. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me, and where is the place of my rest? He said, for all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. What I want you to take note of is what? Contrite spirit. Can I hear you say contrite spirit? It means the person who is remorseful. It means the person who is full of repentance. It means the person who is very sorry. God says, when I see somebody who is quick to be sorry, when he makes a mistake, he doesn't try to cover it. He quickly, I missed it. God, I'm sorry. You know, do you know that you don't even need to wait for your quiet time the next morning to repent? Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you missed it, you made a mistake, you said something you shouldn't have said. Don't even wait till next morning and say, my quiet time is at 6 a.m. When tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., I will repent. No. Repent now, right there, on the road, as you are walking. Repent straight away and be telling you, I'm sorry. You know how many times God has said to you, you spoke to somebody and God pinched your heart and said what you said there was not good. You should right away say, God, I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry. I won't do that again. I won't do that again. I've told the story many times before. I was in university, coming out of a class, and everybody rushing out. I've forgotten what, a faculty of science. LLT, I think it was LLT, the big one. So we're coming out, and rushing through this small door and staircase to go down. And this guy, we know, of course, everybody's pushes, like Mark chapter 5. But everybody was pressing. And then this guy hit me. You hit me. I said, oh, guy, everybody's pushing. I have no intention of hitting anybody. Then he grabbed my clothes and locked my shirt. I said, I will deal with you. And if you knew me, I was leper. You know. And this guy was big, tall, with muscles. And he grabbed me and dragged me down the stairs. and pulled me aside. Everybody was by. He pulled me aside. He said, I will beat you. Hey. And I stood there. I said, what did I do? Blah, 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 blah. A few people came to join us. Well, leave him alone. No, I will deal with him. You don't know me? Mampas. You don't know Mampas? I said, I don't know. He said, I will beat you. And people were begging him vigorously, please leave him alone. I said, no, I didn't do anything. What did I do wrong? Blah, 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 blah. I had the ruler and all that I took from somebody. He broke everything in my hand. So after a while, you know the thing we call holy anger. You know it doesn't really exist. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He said, why? The anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. Meaning when you are angry, you will miss God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's what the scripture means by that. The anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. When you allow anger to dictate to you, you will do something wrong. So I stood there and I said, I said, now, that cost you just came from. You will fail. Mark my words. I say it now. You have failed. I used my prophetic anointing. And the guy got very angry. He said, he cursed me. He cursed me. Everybody said, what did he do? He stopped talking about pushing. He said, he cursed me. So I understood the scriptures. When he said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Because that's the one he started fighting with, the words that I said. I said, scripture is working. You know. And then he was softening his grief for me, his grasp for me. He cursed me. And then he said, leave him alone. And he was softening. Yeah, he cursed me. And then he left me alone. And I smiled and I walked away. The holy man of God. Victorious. And as I walked away, God said, what was that? I said, God said, what you did there was wrong. You cursed him. I said, God said, shh, what you did there was wrong. I said, God, I repent. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I have mercy on him. Have mercy on me. I have mercy that I said, matter. You know, and all that. And I just began to pray and repented of it. That guy got born again shortly after that. Maybe if I had acted, you know, if I had left what I did, maybe he wouldn't have. You know, in the Bible, you see the example of Stephen, who said, forgive them. There was also an example of people in the Bible who didn't say, forgive them. Who said, God. In fact, Joshua said, whoever builds this Jericho is the firstborn. The life of his firstborn, he will use to lay the foundation. And as he's completing this wall, the life of the lastborn. Do you know it happened? God said, this is not... that is Old Testament. Are you hearing me? He said, I repented. And that guy got saved. Zealous for the Lord. But he got saved. Maybe he wouldn't have. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I said, are you there? So be quick to repent. First says that if we sin, we should ask God for forgiveness, who is quick to forgiving us. Are you hearing me? Never, even after you have said to God you are sorry, never allow the devil to push you for one more minute. Because when you said it, God accepted it. Are you still there? You may have things to do with people to resolve things, but when you repented before God and you told God, I'm sorry, God accepted your sorry. And it's fine with God. You know, in 1 Samuel, chapter 12. I won't open there because of time. But in 1 Samuel chapter 12, the children of Israel had just asked for a king. Before then, they had no king. So they had been them. And then they had the prophet Samuel. And then at the point, they said, we want to be like other people. We want a king. Give us a king. Samuel was angry. He took it personal. And God said, it's not you that they rejected. It's me. I was their king. You were not king. You were my messenger. You were a prophet. I was their king. Now they want to be like other nations. He said, leave them alone. Give them a king. He said, tell them this is the behavior of the king. And it's interesting that if you read the behavior of the king, it's what you are seeing in all these presidents, head of state today. He said, this is what they will do. Because they are human. He said, but they have rejected me. It's okay. Give them what they want. But in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 20 to 22, while they were installing the king, and the people were feeling very bad now because now they had thunder. They could see that his anger is for a moment. That anger came in display. Thunder and whatnot. And then they began to shake. They said, we have done wrong. Oh, Samuel, we have done wrong. Hey, we have sinned. And Samuel said, even though you have done this evil, He said, do not depart from following the living God. He said, otherwise, you will follow after worthless things. He said, so no matter what, you have done this great evil. He said, but stick with God. Are you hearing me? Stick with God. Go back to God. Repent in sackcloth and ashes. Do whatever you need to do, but stay with God. And the reason why we can't is because His anger is but for a moment, but His favor lasts for a lifetime. Can I have an amen? Can we touch just one more point? Is that okay? Can I have 5 more minutes? Huh? How many people will give me 5 more minutes? That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's about 20. So 20 times 5, that's what? Eh? That's 100 minutes. Yeah, you all give me 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes. I mean, so we put it. It's not like that. The statisticians say not like that. No. The theorem I'm using is different. Hallelujah. So not, the last point I'll make to you is this. Serve God. Can I hear you say, serve God? There's a reward for service. There's a predisposition. There's a way you can increase God's favor towards you by serving Him. Psalm 35. Psalm 35. And verse 27. It says, let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. Psalm 35, verse 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who has what? Pleasure in the prosperity of who? His servant. That's a carefully chosen word. He has pleasure in the progress of his servant. So when you serve God, He takes pleasure. And remember God's design for your progress, Psalm 5 verse 12, is what? Is with favor He surrounds you. So when you serve God, He surrounds you with favor. Are you still there? He just favors you because you are putting in some extra. You are doing things in His service. And there are many that are not doing that. In Job chapter 36, he said, if you obey and serve Him, Job 36, 11, he said, you spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasure. Job 36, 11, if you obey and serve Him, you spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasures. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. You know, in Luke chapter 7, there was a man that came to Jesus. And he said, look, my servant is sick, blah, blah, blah. Come and pray for him so that he will be well and all that. And it seems, if you read it, it seems like Jesus was not yet responsive. Then people began to speak. And they said, he's a good man. He loves our nation. And He built us a synagogue. He was there in the service of God. The Bible says then. Can I hear you say then? When they gave the resume, He loves our nation. He built a synagogue. He did this. Then Jesus said, let's go there. Your service counts. Are you with me? Your service counts. If you look in Isaiah 38. Isaiah 38. I'm fixing to round up or fixing to close. So, again, we'll say that. And they asked him, what does it mean? He said, it means that I'm beginning to start, to begin to finish. Okay? So, it's beginning to start. Are you in Isaiah 38? Are you there? Isaiah 38 verse 1, he said, in those days, King Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die. And in case you missed that, he said, and not live. This is final. You shall die and not live. Then in verse 2, Hezekiah's reaction. He turned his face towards the wall and prayed to God and said, remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart. And I've walked with you before you, but in truth and a loyal heart, and I've done what? what is good in your sight. One says, I have served you faithfully. Then God reversed it. He told Isaiah, go back. Tell him, I have had it 15 more years. How did that happen? It was the reward of service. Are you with me? Simply the reward of service. Kenneth Hagin spoke about that. Again, he said in the days when he was a pastor, in the early days of his ministry, he was in a church and there was a man who was sick, was in coma, dying. And they would take turns at the hospital to wait by its bedside. He says, so he said he told the wife, the man was a Sunday school teacher in his church. He said he told the wife, he said, I will come and relieve you, you know, some of the nights. He would pray through the night many times anyway. He says, so you can go home and rest. I will come in the night and I'll just pray there. I'll just be there and be praying. He says, so one of those nights, the wife had gone and he began to pray. The man was not expected to leave. He said he began to pray. And he was praying and he was telling God. He said, God, there's nobody in our church as faithful as that man. I can depend on him. He serves with all his might. I mean, if you took other people, it's fine. But this one, he said, I mean, what are you doing to me, even me? His pastor. He said, I depend on that guy. I don't have people like him to depend on. So how can he go? He can't die. And then the man was healed and came to church. And he told the story. He gave the testimony in church. He said, actually, he died on that bed. And that when he died, God showed him. He met Jesus. And as he walked, he was happy. Because when believers die, they're happy. He said, you've left all this nonsense, subsidy remover, blah, blah, blah. He was happy. He said, and as he was going joyfully, he saw Jesus. And then Jesus grabbed him and just turned him around. And said, look at your pastor. He won't let you come. He won't let you come. And pushed him. He said, and that's how he woke up. Are you there, anybody? Increase your knowledge of God. Be quick to repent. Keep God's commandments. And serve him with all your might. Let's stand on our feet. Father in heaven, how we love you. We lift your name in all the earth. May your kingdom be established in our praises. As your people, we declare your mighty works. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God. First time, second time, third time, fourth time, whatever time it is, but you know that in your heart of hearts, you don't have peace with God. You know, but if you were to fall down dead, you are not confident of where you go. But you want to change that, and you want to change it now. Then do so very quickly and put your right hand on your chest, right where you are. You want to give your life to Jesus this morning, or even if you are online, do it right where you are. First time, or you are rededicating your life to Him. Do so right where you are. Do so right where you are. Thank you. I see that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And now tell Him. Tell Him, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, I come to You this morning. I surrender to You. Be Lord over my life. You died for my sins. You rose that I might have peace with God. Now I ask that You will be Lord over my life from this day forward. I will do the best on my side to live for You, to serve You, to know You, to grow in You. And I trust You to help me, to keep me all the days of my life. Amen. Father, thank You for everyone who prayed that. Thank You for drawing them. Thank You also because they will stand. They will grow. They will increase in their knowledge of You. And they will be preserved whole, spirit, soul, and body in the name of Jesus. Thank You because the joy of salvation overwhelms them. Wipes away every past deed. Wipes away every conviction, every sinful feeling. But makes it clear to them that if any man be in Christ, a new creature, all things are passed away. And behold, all things have become new. So it is for them. In the name of Jesus. Very quickly now, if you have a need in this place, whatever need that is, a healing, you need to be healed of something, you are believing God for something, God says in Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 3, He said, call unto Me and I will answer you. Call unto Me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things you do not know. So again, if you are believing God for whatever it might be, put your hand on your chest. We were hearing yesterday testimonies, people watching online and getting healed. That's the way God works. So He doesn't need the laying on of hands. I've told you, I believe I have a ministry of laying on of hands. I like it, but I don't have the time to do that this morning. But it doesn't stop God. Hallelujah. Father, thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Because miracles break forth in the name of Jesus. Thank You because as we call upon You, You do those mighty deeds that You are known for. In the name of Jesus. For from the start of the world, we have never heard nor seen a God like You that acts on behalf of those who wait for Him. Thank You because You act on behalf of everyone here. Whatever the desire is, You know it. And You do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that they can dare to ask or even imagine. We give You praise ahead of time because we have faith in You. We thank You for answered prayers. We thank You for healings in bodies. We thank You for creative miracles. We thank You for immense favor and blessings coming all of our ways in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank You for everybody here and under the sound of My voice, whether now or later. Thank You because indeed we step into a season that lasts our lifetime of being established under grace and the favor of God. That our hearts will never shift from it. We will look for it. We will expect it. And we will enjoy it. In the name of Jesus, we give You all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name.